Okay. Each cycle, we have some different strategies
Yes.
to
So let's
acquire
talk about
users and followers. Yeah. This cycle. Because I've been heavily engaged in gaming sectors for the last 2, 3 years. If you're building gaming, social, or entertainment project, you'll need to really focus on Twitter and Telegram or Discord, rather than Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube. Because there are a lot of users and active users that are mostly spending their time on Twitter and Telegram. So I would say you should focus on such social channels. And then in Web3, we need to provide some room.
Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And my guest today is Nathan Kim. He is one of the organizers for the Southeast Asia Blockchain Week, and he is here to share some of his insights from organizing the Korea Blockchain Week, what you can expect in Thailand in April 2024 during this event, as well as he will share all his growth secrets because he has worked in an accelerator incubator. He has worked with different gaming organizations in Web3. So he's going to share what are some growth hacks that you can apply if you are building a product. Also, nothing shared in this episode should be taken as an investment advice. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone. With that out of the way, let's get into it. So Nathan, welcome to the show. So looking forward to talking with you. Let's just get straight into it. And let's talk about what you are working on. And let's talk about Southeast Asia Blockchain Week.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Nathan Kim. I'm from Troutlab, which is a joint venture between Hatch and SCBX, which is a subsidiary of Siam Commercial Bank in Thailand. So we're doing R&D and incubating targeted Southeast Asia. So we want to get connected with pioneers and builders around Southeast Asia. That's why we are organizing the Southeast Asia Blockchain Week to maximize the opportunity and creating some synergy there. Because in Southeast Asia, there are so many fragmented conferences and events. For example, GM Vietnam, Thailand Blockchain Week, CoinFast, Blockchain Week in the Philippines, something like that. So we want to aggregate the opportunity and provide some meaningful opportunity to bootstrap the ecosystem in Southeast Asia, because there are so many potential users, builders, and community enablers there. As you may know, there were a huge bull run driven by Southeast Asia back in 2020, 2021. So
yes.
Imagine YGG built by Avocado DAO. So many gaming guilds and DAOs were there. So they onboarded a lot of users and people, even from Web2 side.
Yeah.
So and the population in Southeast Asia is over 660 million people. So the region has huge potential to onboard a lot of potential users and people as well.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And it's not only that it is growing in crypto, it is growing in every single metrics, whether it is like for the whole of Southeast Asia, whether it is GDP, GDP per capita, or life expectancy, health outcomes, education levels, every metrics, the whole of Southeast Asia, it is growing really rapidly. And people don't realize how fast it is growing, and it doesn't have the same. It still has a lot of young people. It doesn't have the problem of Japan and South Korea and Taiwan, which has a shrinking population and a very like a aging population. Whereas Indonesia, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, all these countries are full on, even Thailand to a certain extent is full of young people. Same with Philippines as well, full of young people and lots of energy. So I do think that that region has a lot of promise. What are some of the trends that you are seeing in that region when it comes to crypto and this year, like 2024?
Southeast Asia.
Yes. In Southeast.
Like I said, there are so many people, population living in Southeast Asia, and the mobile penetration rate is pretty much high. And there are relatively younger people living there compared to other countries around the world. They're pretty open to Web3 technologies and services as well. They tend to spending more time on mobile devices. That's why they committed to Web3 gaming services.
Yes.
And even in this cycle, a lot of games, they have a lot of traction in Southeast Asia. they are acquiring a lot of users as well. So we think there should be some meaningful adoption in Web3 gaming industry, especially in Southeast Asia.
Yes.
But in Southeast Asia, the financial system is not that established so far. So more than 20% of the population can't really leverage the financial system. So some of them, they don't have bank account. They can't use the banking services. So they are pretty open to use stable coins or cryptocurrency at all. That's why there are so many governments like Thailand, Singapore, Vietnam, and the Philippines. They are pretty, the governments are pretty open to explore the CBDC as well. So they're actively looking into CBDC and stablecoin payment system. And there are a lot of Web2 enterprises interested in adopting Web3 technologies as well. So last year, Grab, the drive sharing service, they actually adopted Web3 wallet inside their super app. So in Southeast Asia, there are so many enterprises that have super apps.
Yeah.
Super app means they have many different services inside
like WeChat
one app.
Yes.
So in Grab, they actually collaborated with Circle to leverage USDC and the Web3 wallet as well. So it was pretty meaningful, which shows that a lot of enterprises, they want to leverage Web3 technologies and they want to provide some additional benefits to their users.
Yes, I can see that. Apart from the super apps, have you seen any other established companies partnering with Web3 companies?
I heard Nansen, the data analytics company, Web3 native company, they are collaborating with a lot of Web2 cloud services and Web2 data analytics services as well. So what on-chain data is, it's a very interesting sector that needs to be explored. Web2 companies, they want to reach out to potential users and provide some loyalty membership services to their existing users, but they don't have much data on blockchain. So they want to have more wallet data and user data, and they want to analyze user behaviors on blockchain, but they don't have that data yet. So they want to collaborate with Nansen or Token Terminal or other Web3 services like Etherscan, et cetera. So that was one case that I can look into.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I can see that. I was just looking at the Southeast Asia Blockchain Week's website, and it does seem like you guys have a lot of very high quality speakers and side events. And there is also something on your website that I have seen that is like a game day and a demo day. Can you tell me a bit more about what happens on there?
Sure. Actually, a lot of gaming projects and communities reached out to us first because they wanted to showcase their interesting, exciting gaming products and products. And they want to showcase to our audience in Southeast Asia. I think in Web3, gaming projects, they can deliver the product on their own, but they want to build all together with their potential users and community members as well. So in Southeast Asia, there are so many grassroots communities. For example, YGG, Avocado DAO, there are so many gaming guilds and grassroots communities that can contribute to the Web3 gaming ecosystem. So in terms of user-generated content or governance, etc., so a lot of gaming projects, they will be participating in our game day to showcase their recently developed gaming products, or they can showcase their ecosystem to build together the game content as well. We're gonna showcase newly established games, and we do some tournaments there.
Yeah.
So when the audience comes to demo day area, they can play the game and they can participate in the competition as well. And during the demo day, we're gonna bring a lot of innovative builders in Southeast Asia, so they can showcase their innovative Web3 products. It could be DeFi products, it could be gaming, it could be SocialFi, something like that. But we're gonna have more than 7-8 judges from famous TCs in Web3 as well. So we have secured Faction, Hatch and Spartan. So
yes.
Many judges from great VCs will come and they're gonna find some meaningful opportunities there.
Yeah, there's another VC I came across when I was last at the Future Blockchain Summit or something in Dubai. It's what are they called? KX something. Yes. What is it? It's a Thai $100 yes. million dollar fund, one of the biggest Thai VC in the space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me know if you want me to connect you to them.
Sure.
I have a very big VC network since I work as a venture partner for VCs. And also if any founder is listening, find out how to be part of the demo day so you can be in front of the VCs. And not only, it would be great if you can be part of the Southeast Asia Blockchain Week demo day, but there are always demo days around. You can look online and be part of that and stay connected, or feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to connect you to Nathan and to the Southeast Asia Blockchain Week. So yeah, that sounds very interesting. And do you have any idea of what type of side events people can expect, or what type of side events people should look forward to?
Sure. We have a couple of side events before and after the main conference. Yep. So on April 22nd, there's TokenX Summit, the tokenization event held by TokenX, which is a subsidiary of SEB. So they're going to cover real world assets and financial inclusions driven by Web3. Yeah, if you're interested in Web3 financial services, you can join the conference. And on April 23rd, there's Southeast Asia Blockchain Week official VIP and Secrets Night.
Yeah.
And on April 25th, there's official after party for VIP and speakers. And on the last day, on Friday, April 26th, there's On-Chain 2024 held by Station Capital and Check On-Chain 2024.
Yeah.
So it's also covering real world asset business. So
RWAs, yes.
Yes. It's actually one of our official side events. Yeah. It's held by Station Capital, Evertas, Helix, and Deep Green Labs. A lot of actually Money 2020 participants and speakers are also joining the side event as well to speak and to discuss about the real world asset and financial services and its breakthrough in this cycle in 2024.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that sounds like a very busy week for everyone. Reminds
actually,
me of, yes.
We're adding two to three side events every week. So a lot of our potential partners are reaching out to us to collaborate together to host such side events. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that does sound very exciting. And yeah, I'm also part of VNTR Capital. We are also planning to have a side event, especially catered just to VCs, just like a VC LP get together. And we have this event all around the world. So yeah, after the call, I'll liaise with you, but that's a different topic. Just because you have been involved with the Korea Blockchain Week in past, how do you see this event as, what do you think will be similar? Because some people would have already been to that event. So what do you feel would be the similar things to Korea Blockchain Week? And what do you think would be different here in this event?
Yeah, this is, personally, I think there are two types of conferences in Web3. One is, it's pretty commercial.
Yes.
It can cover various sectors in Web3. A lot of things could be really expensive. Sponsorship, booth, logistics, everything can be set pretty expensive. It can't really cover latest technologies and narratives, all of these. But the other type of conference, it's not really commercial. It's really, you could say it could be picky, but it has strong narrative and insight there. So it invites speakers and founders from every products, but they select some products in each sector. So that was the direction of Korea Blockchain Week. So the host of Korea Blockchain Week, they wanted to invite leading products in each Web3 sectors.
Yes.
Let's say DeFi, GameFi, social infrastructure, something like that. So we can showcase latest narratives and technologies in each cycle. So since 2018, we are pretty confident that we've been inviting great people that pioneers in E3. So in Southeast Asia this year, we want to do something similar. We are putting a lot of effort and time, energy on selecting people and projects in a lot of different verticals in Web3. So yes, we needed our own strong narrative as well. So in Southeast Asia, it's very famous for a huge pool of Web3 users. So yes, we want to cover different themes during the main conference. One is acquiring users in Southeast Asia. So how can we acquire a lot of users? What was the effective tools? What's the effective strategy? How we can reach out to and how we can encourage them to contribute in our ecosystem, something like that. And the other themes could cover gaming, infrastructure, finance, or innovative technologies, including AI or Bitcoin as a platform, something like that.
Yes.
Let's say we are putting a lot of effort on selecting projects and founders and the narratives as well, so we can deliver meaningful insights to the audience and, of course, participants.
Yes. Before these events and things, were you also part of SCBX? Did you say that earlier?
SCBX is actually one of the mother company of Shoutla, the organizer of CBW.
Yeah.
So definitely they will be actually one of the subsidiary of SCBX is going to be a judge of our team as well. So
oh, fantastic.
They are heavily engaged in Southeast Asia Blockchain League.
Yes. And so were you working for Hash or Shard Lab or before this event and things? Or did you just join? Yep. I'm just talking now about you, not the event. How do you fit in all this?
Yeah. I started working in the Web3 industry since 2017. Yeah. And mostly I've been working mostly as a marketer and community builder. Before this company, I worked as a community lead at Maker Foundation, which is a DeFi lending protocol.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Unopen, which is incubating arm of Hashed. So I've been contributing in terms of event partnerships and incubating under Hashed umbrella.
Yes.
So at Unopen, I've been helping a lot of portfolio companies in entertainment, gaming, and NFT sectors.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So you have a lot of growth experience, whether it is through any of these or even with whenever someone works in accelerator incubators, you see a lot of other founders and other builders and you get to see what they are doing. Sometimes you get to learn from them. Sometimes you get to teach them. What are, say, because a lot of the listeners of this podcast are actually founders of Web3, or they are thinking about building a startup, or they are built a startup and they need help with promoting it. So what are some, maybe two or three points of advice for people who are looking for growth in for a Web3 project? Yes.
Okay. In each cycle, we have some different strategies.
Yes.
To also acquire users and followers.
Yeah. Yes.
This cycle. Because I've been heavily engaged in gaming sectors for the last 2-3 years. If you're building gaming, social, or entertainment project, you'll need to really focus on Twitter and Telegram or Discord rather than Instagram or YouTube, because there are a lot of users and active users that they're mostly spending their time on Twitter and Telegram. So I would say you should focus on such social channels. And then in Web3, you need to provide some rooms for users to participate in your ecosystem. You can make the structure, basic structure of your ecosystem. We're gonna make our product, build our ecosystem through this structure mechanism. But you can participate, you can contribute in this matter, in this product, in this event, and then you get this reward. So those kind of mechanics is very essential. So some say that it's airdrop mechanism, it's a reward campaign, something like that. But you gotta make very clear system of reward, so people can, they feel, oh, this project is very interesting and I can do a lot of things from the beginning and get maybe a lot of rewards in the future as well. So that kind of structure and that kind of mechanism is very important to your growth. And of course, promotion and marketing is very important. So you'll need to find proper strategic partners in Web3. So as I see for the last 4 or 5 years, there are 2-3 major markets in Web3. So one is North America and Europe.
Yes.
Second is East Asian market. It could be Taiwan, Hong Kong, Korea, Japan, and China. And yes. The third one is Southeast Asia and India.
Yeah.
So there are so many active users, but the type of users are different. And
very
North
different.
America and Europe, they tend to spend a lot of money. The average revenue per user is pretty high, but the number of users there is pretty low, relatively low.
Yes.
So if you want a lot of users and if you want to see some growth, you got to focus on Asia for now, especially if you are building gaming products. I would say Southeast Asia is the best market in the first phase of
the
your growth. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. 100% I would agree that you would look for developers.
Yeah.
In India and then you'd for Southeast, game would be, and the community management would be in Philippines or Vietnam. And
you're right. So if you want to acquire more users there, you can't just find users and make them come to your community, but you should collaborate with grassroots communities there as well. Of course, daily deals or DAOs and cryptocurrency communities. There are so many communities, but you can reach out to every one of them. But you should find some regional major player there. So
yes.
In Vietnam, you'll see Ancient Ink, Avocado DAO. In the Philippines, of course, there's YUG. In Thailand, there's CryptoMine, GameFi, Bitcoin Addict, stuff like that. So if you find that regional major player, they will help you connect with other local miner communities as well. So you can get the full context there.
Oh, fantastic. Going a bit more specific, do you have any examples of any growth effort that you did, which was unexpected, that gave you unexpectedly good results? Could be any time in the last 2, 3 years, 4 years, any time.
Yeah.
Could be for any company, could be for any. Yeah.
Add-on open helped Derby Stars, which is a Web3 horse racing metaverse team.
Yeah.
And they launched their NFT collection back in 2021 and 2022. And we actually raised around $7 million equivalent.
Crazy. Yep.
Yeah. And it was pretty much successful. When we think if we sell a large amount of NFTs in dollars, it could be really hard and users could be really picky. But when we provide the room to our users that they can earn a lot of money, and we need to provide some rooms to speculate when there's, you know, when there's thought of it. If you may know, there's Franklin Templeton in the US.
Yes.
It's a financial institution, but
very big, very famous. Yes.
Yes. And they said on one day, they said on Twitter, as I remember, they mentioned that speculation is not a bug, but it's a feature. That's what they said. So I was very much impressed by the phrase.
Yes.
So I think even though you're building a gaming product or social product or even infrastructure product, you've got to provide some rooms to people speculate on your product. Speculation means they can participate, they can contribute from the beginning, but they can speculate that, oh, if I contribute this much, maybe in the future I can get rewarded this much, something like that.
Yes, so, but yeah, that's true. But then I worry that if we do that, people might not stick around for a long time.
You're right.
And
but
it
I mean,
could be a very short-lived user group until the values start going down and they get discouraged and then they just leave.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you...
Yes. Yeah. We should not really rely on from the beginning till the end on the speculation. So we can acquire users. Maybe we can leverage speculation or airdrop or reward campaign, something like that. And then we got to provide some exciting features, exciting content, exciting events during our product, within our product. So it,
very true.
Stars that I incubated, they did the, you know, NFT sales back in 2021 and 2022. And it was a 10K horse collection, NFT collection. And a lot of users, they contributed in the ecosystem, in the community. They created a lot of content, memes. It could be fan art. It could be a lot of engagement they provided. And then they got whitelist or some spots they can participate in the NFT sale. Mm. And it was the growth kind of campaigns and events. It was pretty meaningful. Mm. So they got more than 50 to 60K followers within 2 months. And in this cycle, I think very similar things were going to happen. So a lot of projects, they do airdrops, they do NFT sales, or even IDO sales to hire a lot of users. This means they provide rooms to speculate on their maybe tokens for ecosystem. But then in the next phase, they have to provide their vision, their roadmap, and their IP on their, it could be gaming, social, or anything, but they need to,
provide some value. Otherwise people will just leave. they're not going to stick around, and then they'll be because that token value might be high. So it is paper wealth. It is not realized into USD, and if there is no product backing it that is solving real problems, or it is, if it's a social product, then it has to be fun. If it's a game, it has got to be fun. If it's not, and I've had this very detailed discussion with some game builders, because I used to be in the gaming space. I've actually worked for gaming DAOs in past, people making gaming infrastructure for gaming, and I've been had connections with different guilds and stuff. So I understand the space, and I've had this lot of these conversations. And one of the book I was recommended to read that I've been going through right now, I'm using, like, listening to the audiobook of that. It is A Theory of Fun by Ralph Kotler or something like that. The name of the author, I don't exactly remember the spelling, but The Theory of Fun or something like that. So it's a very interesting book on what makes games fun, or some games fun, and some games, they get boring very fast. And so it was very interesting that how gaming is like another way of something that helps us. It is just hard enough that it is still challenging, and you get to learn something new. So you get to learn like a new pattern to solve a problem. But then if it is too challenging, it is no good. People will give up. And if it is, and if it is too easy, then it'll get boring. So like the Cross and Knots, the game, or the tic-tac-toe game. And then it's so easy that after a while you play with someone, it always ends in draw. And then there's no new patterns you can learn. But if it is something like chess or Go, the Korean game, there's so many, there's millions of combinations. And every time you discover new patterns and new pathways. Mm. So it's a very, like, people will play forever because
it's long lasting. Yeah,
it's a very long lasting. So you want to build something that is really long lasting. It doesn't have to be to do with high-end graphics. You can have simple graphics. But
it's a very important point that, and especially in Web3, users can own their data and even in-game assets as well.
Yes.
So that's why the metaverse is very important in Web3, because users can get into the metaverse and they can create, they can craft a lot of creative thing. So we can call it user-generated content, right?
Yes.
So they can create their own outfits or maybe their weapon or something like that. They can play with other users. So they can create some in-game economy as well, right?
Yes. Yes.
So there are some synergies and creativity.
Yeah. So that is true. You could always have things in, even in the Web2 gaming world, you have the consumables and clothes and items, and you can trade them on the marketplace provided, whether it's by Steam or by anyone, like a third party. You have to rely on a centralized marketplace. This is a decentralized, you can trade peer-to-peer on an on-chain when it is on-chain gaming. So that is the key. That is the main difference I see it as. For most people, they don't really mind a centralized exchange. in gaming, because what they really care about is the gaming experience. If the gaming experience is good, people won't mind if it's centralized or decentralized. So I still think that if you want long-term growth of the space, we need to build good games that are fun, and which is very hard to do. Even for gaming studios with 10, 20,000 employees and spending 5 years or 10 years and spending hundreds of millions, even they produce flop games, games that don't do well. So it's even for them, it's hard. So you can imagine it's challenging. Mm. But what you said is true, that you can use some mechanics to get people interested initially. And then it's up to your product, then it's up to your vision, then it's up to your community management to keep them engaged, to keep it going. So that is very true. My last question for you is, let's go back to the Southeast Asia Blockchain Week and all that. And whether it's about that or any other companies that you're associated with, do you have any ask? Or is there anything you're looking for? If you want people to have any website, you want them to sign up or anything, feel free to share. Or if you're hiring, if you're looking for partners, anything, or feel free to share.
Yeah, in every aspect, we were looking for some partners, some famous, insightful speakers and products as well that are building innovative product for users, general public. Please. You can come to our website, cbw.org, to buy the ticket, because we are in an early first stage. So you can buy the ticket with the discounted price. That's good news. And we're going to update our website so you can see the side events during the week. So we're going to have a lot of exciting, interesting side events. Some of them are networking events. Some of them are workshops, demo events, or any kind of event. So we're going to provide more information via our website. So please come to our website and social channel as well. Twitter.
Sure.
So we're going to do some exciting community event as well. So we can give out some free tickets or discounted tickets. So follow our Twitter account and stay tuned.
Yeah, thank you. So I will push this out episode in early April, like 8th of April or something, 20 days before or 15, 20 days before the event. So it is just in time. So people can find that information about the discounted tickets or any discounts or any promo codes or anything. What I'll do is I'll put them in the description and the show notes. So go and check that out and follow Nathan and his Twitter as well. You'll find all the links in the show notes of this episode. Awesome. So thank you so much, Nathan, for your time, and looking forward to meeting you in person next month.
Me too. Thank you so much for your this opportunity and your
thank
time.
You. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.